Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. The congregation would have me remind you that we believe that these words in the Bible come from God, that God who created everything cares about us, and the God who cares about us is trying to communicate with us, and God uses His Word first. I, as a minister of God's Word, am called to help us understand what God wants to say to us today in our situation. Even though parts of the Bible are thousands of years old, we believe that they can still speak to us. It is the Advent season. This is the second Sunday in the Advent season, and though this introduction is very similar to last week's introduction for the first Sunday in Advent, it's a different sermon. If you had been listening to the first message, you might think we're doing it again, but this is the second Sunday in the Advent season, a traditional season of preparation. Not preparation for an American holiday blowout. Churches and Jesus followers would not be preparing for any big Christmas party. A traditional season of preparation is a spiritual preparation. While Americans are setting out lights and decor, while Americans are trimming the tree, Jesus' followers can trim their trees, but they want to be trimming their wicks for the light that Jesus brings. While Americans are trimming the tree, Jesus' followers are trimming their trees and want to trim their wicks for the light that Jesus brings. Jesus, the light of the world. Which brings us to our affirmation of faith from John's Gospel in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the first chapter, and we're focused on the words of the angel. He is called Gabriel, the angel's message to Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus. And so we are only looking at verses 35 through 38 as the angel answers Mary's question. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. As I mentioned last time, there are at least four or five angel appearances in the birth reports of Jesus. You know them well. We've covered them more than once in sermons. You recall these angel appearances as Pastor David Jeremiah noted in his book entitled, Why the Nativity? Angelic visits come to Zechariah. We looked at that visitation last week. Angel visits to Mary. What we just heard a portion read. Angel visits to Joseph in a dream, the stepfather of Jesus, husband of Mary, and the shepherds, you recall, have a heavenly host of angels visit them. And maybe count the wise men. They too had a dream. And although angels are not mentioned in some ancient religions, and remember that the wise men were not Jews, in some ancient religions the stars were angels or spiritual beings. The wise men were guided to Jesus by the stars. So there are angel appearances four or five times in the birth reports of Jesus. I'm not even sure, since I don't like to repeat myself, I'm not even sure that there is more for me to say about these angel visitations. So why would we look again at the angels associated with the birth of Jesus? Because if you want to have a full gospel Christmas, you will have to notice and look at the angels. I mentioned weeks ago that American Christians' belief in angels is declining. That's kind of a problem. And we will have chances to talk about that as kind of a problem all this season. Not believing in angels is only kind of a problem because your faith in Jesus Christ does not hinge on your belief in angels. Your faith in Jesus Christ hinges on believing in Jesus Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ does not hinge on your belief in angels. We might notice the obvious, as I'm fond of pointing out in sermons. In the Bible, people who are visited by angels don't have to believe in angels anymore, do they? The people who are visited by angels have seen the angels. They have heard the angels. They don't have to believe in the angels anymore. The people of the Bible know that there are God's messengers and that God's messengers bring the word of God to people. Preachers tend to point to Mary, mother of Jesus, as a faithful woman, and Mary is a faithful woman. At this point in Luke's report, our Bible reading for today, we really only know the faithfulness of Mary by Mary's response to Gabriel's announcement. Mary's response was made famous in the 20th century by the Beatles' song released in March 1970, simply entitled, "Let It Be." Some of you might remember the release of that song. The album the song is on is called the Let It Be album. The lyrics of the song: "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be." When Paul McCartney, who composed the song, was asked directly in an interview if the Virgin Mary was being referred to, McCartney typically said that the listener may interpret the lyrics any way they choose. On the U.S. record charts, the song was another monster hit. On the U.S. charts, the song set a number of milestones. The song gave the Beatles their seventh consecutive year, charting a number one hit, sharing the all-time record at the time with Elvis Presley. The song gave Lennon and McCartney their seventh consecutive year, writing a number one hit, an all-time record at the time. The song is still favored among all Beatles songs. Let It Be holds the top spot on the fans' top 10 poll included in the 100 Best Beatles Songs. The Beatles song, Let It Be, has been so popular that I must refer to it in a sermon that talks about the Virgin Mary's response to the angel Gabriel with the words, "Let It Be." The Beatles song may be one Bible moment that every baby boomer knows, that Mother Mary said, "Let it be." Our Pew Bible says it this way: "May your word to me be fulfilled." Other versions of the Bible say it this way: "May it be done to me according to your word." May it happen. Let everything you've said happen to me. Let it happen as you say. One version of the Bible has Mary say, "Behold, I am the slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." But we all understand Mary's words. However, I want to notice the angel Gabriel's words, the words to which Mary's response is, "Let it be." Gabriel states how Mary, the virgin, shall become pregnant. The King James Version states in King James Version English, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." And in our everyday English, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Bible scholars point to the important Greek words, the Holy Spirit come upon you and overshadow you. That is a description of the Holy Spirit's work. I have a commentary that devotes an entire page to the words in this verse, and it's in a small print, very small print, of a very big book. The most important comment is that Jesus is quoted using the same words when Jesus, after Jesus' resurrection, tells the disciples to remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Much of the commentary by Raymond Brown, author of the very big book, tells us much more about what verse 35 does not mean. We don't have to do that. We want to accept the simpler explanation for Gabriel's words concerning the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. The word translated overshadow, and that is the majority of versions of the Bible that use that word, overshadow, it's the same word used when Jesus' appearance is transfigured. The word is also used in Greek translations of the Hebrew Old Testament describing God's presence in the sanctuary. What Luke makes clear, stating clearly in the same verse, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Make no mistake, don't come to any other conclusions. This child will be God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Luke, having gone to great lengths to make this clear to his readers, what does this have to do with us? I've been suggesting to you that the angel words are a form of God's communication to us as part of a relationship with us. The entire Bible is a form of God's communication with us as a part of a relationship with us. Again, let us not miss the obvious. This whole idea to have Mary give birth to Jesus is not Mary's plan. It would be a little strange for a young woman not yet living with her betrothed, odd for the virgin to pray to have a child. It reminds me of that old joke of the man who wanted to win the lottery. He wanted to win the lottery so badly that the desire to win the lottery became a part of his daily prayers to the Lord. Finally, one day, after his prayers to win the lottery, the voice of the Lord came to him and said, look, would you just meet me halfway and at least buy a lottery ticket? So you see, it would be odd for Mary to be praying for a child if she's not having sex, which Luke makes clear she is a virgin. So being pregnant at that time, and being pregnant miraculously, and being pregnant with God's Son, those things just usually aren't on anyone's to-do list, right? Even faithful people don't pray for that. Am I right? And Mary is faithful because of Mary's response. Mary says, count me in. You can count on me. Or if you say so, Lord, or better, since you say so, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. None of these events are in Mary's wildest dreams, and yet when Mary gets the news, Mary says, let it be. And not only is this whole plan not Mary's plan, even if this was Mary's plan, Mary cannot make this plan happen. Mary has to look to a power greater than herself, right? And Luke describes this action of a power greater than Mary. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. This is not an idea that is popular with most Americans. Most Americans, even American Christians, would not say they want God to overshadow them. We want to work with God, with God across the table from us. We want God to consult with us and help us. We don't want God to overshadow us. Some of us want to be independent. We want to be self-made people. We want to be self-determining. We want to plan our work and work our plan. More often than not, for American Christians, we pray for God's power for the purpose of God's power serving our plans. But Jesus' birth reports keep telling us that this isn't how God works with us. What so many Americans want is not how God works with us. God's power is greater than ourselves to accomplish what God wants to accomplish, not necessarily to accomplish what we want to accomplish. American Christians' favorite verse in Ephesians, "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." American Christians emphasize the word "I" and the word "me." I do with a strengthened me. I'm sorry, that's Philippians chapter 4. But that isn't what Philippians chapter 4 is saying, is it? The verse understood means I can do all the things that God wants me to do in Christ who strengthens me to do God's will. As our great President Abraham Lincoln observed during the American Civil War, everyone is praying and believing that God is on their side. God is on their side without asking if they are on God's side. We can do all that the Lord wants us to do if we will depend on His power that is greater than we are. Mary can give birth to the Son of God, Emmanuel, if she will depend on the power greater than herself to get it done. Mary cannot give birth to the Son of God without her being God's will to give birth to the Son of God. Mary can't give birth to Jesus simply by being strengthened. Mary has to want to do the will of God, then she will be given the power to give birth to Jesus. Are you getting this? Because if you're not getting this, I've just wasted everyone's last 15 minutes. And as I'm suggesting, Mary's not the exception. Mary is the rule. The same power word that overcomes Mary overcomes the disciples at Pentecost. A power greater than the disciples overcame them, and then overcame the crowd at Peter's speech. Thousands responded. Some Bible teachers have suggested that Jesus' fishermen disciples were strong, burly men pulling up nets all day. If so, we still have to say God was a power greater than them that overcame them. Many people no longer know the name of Albert Schweitzer. In the late 1800s, Schweitzer read an article in a magazine, and in reading that article, felt God's call for him to be a missionary doctor. But there were a couple of problems. Albert Schweitzer already had a career as a musician. Why a missionary medical doctor? Albert Schweitzer already had a ministry at his church, where he not only played music, but he often preached the word. Still, Schweitzer believed he was being called to be a medical doctor, so he tried to get support from the church for him to go to medical school. Guess what? No one at the church wanted him to go. They wanted him to stay on the organ bench and in the pulpit. Can you imagine church people acting and thinking that way? Of course you can. I can too. Hey, if it ain't broke, why try to fix it, right? Well, unless God has other plans, then you do need to fix it. So without support of friends and church, Albert Schweitzer went to medical school at the age of 30. Me? I'm pretty sure I would have given up the idea of being a medical missionary. I would have thought I misunderstood. And you'll never guess what happened next. Albert Schweitzer applied to the mission he'd read about in the magazine where he felt the Lord's call. And guess what? That same mission organization did not want him. After 8 years of medical school, in 1904, Schweitzer went to Equatorial Africa to literally start a hospital in the jungle. He ministered to those suffering leprosy, but Schweitzer reported that his most frequent surgery was for hernias, which Americans forget. If hernias are left untreated, can result in death. Schweitzer was saving lives. In the year 1952, Dr. Albert Schweitzer was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And the only persons who wanted Albert Schweitzer to be a medical missionary were God and Albert Schweitzer. Schweitzer really had to depend on a power greater than himself to accomplish what he was certain was God's will, because no one else was willing to help Albert Schweitzer become a missionary doctor. Schweitzer could do all things that God wanted Schweitzer to do through Jesus Christ. As smart as Albert Schweitzer was, he had already published a book on Jesus before he went to medical school. As accomplished a musician as Albert Schweitzer was, Albert Schweitzer had to depend on a power greater than himself to be a missionary medical doctor. In Africa, which Schweitzer knew was what the Lord wanted. Let me offer some other words to teach this notion. Some of us raised from childhood were raised to be self-sufficient. The Bible calls us, by example, to be God-sufficient. Instead of being self-sufficient, God wants us to be Jesus-sufficient. Instead of self-made people, God wants us to be Holy Spirit-made followers of Jesus, remembering that our Lord is a power greater than ourselves. When I was young, I wanted to have fun. Excuse me. This is a testimony I looked up online because I was looking for testimony to confirm the ideas I'd been suggesting and mentioning. And I did not find particularly Christian testimonies along these lines, at least not at first. But I think they make their point well. This person wrote, "When I was young, I wanted to have fun. I did have fun, but not much else, because I did not care about much else. When I grew older, I learned that having work and home and family was more secure than party life. I got that after years of hard work. Presently, I own my home outright, all my cars, have a savings account after struggling to raise two daughters. Did I get all this from a higher power? The higher power can never be left out of the equation. Higher power can never be left out of the equation." From the book entitled Invisible Heroes, a book by a woman therapist whose name I can't pronounce, she mentions that there's Healing the Wounds of War program, and the author has outlined the 10 ingredients for comprehensive healing. And that program uses, number 5 in the list, prayer. Saying, because it brings larger forces to come and assist with healing. It can be a huge help. A power greater than ourselves, brought to bear through prayer. A power greater than ourselves for healing, as well as for the strength to do the will of God. In this season of preparation, we might consider, as Mary did, the power to do more than she could for purposes greater than herself. A baby born, God's Son, to save the world out of God's great love for us. Amen.
With true love and brotherhood, each other.